Well, welcome to the path forward. This will be an audio version today just because I can't get my camera to work yet again. I shouldn't say I get it to work. It works. It just looks like I'm in a fishbowl. So I have to replace that this week. Something else to do. I wanted to talk to you the Alaska Summit and the clown show yesterday. Let's start with Alaska. That meeting was about way more than peace in Ukraine. I don't know if you picked it up or not, but the shame rituals have intensified over the past several weeks. And yesterday was a direct result of whatever that summit was. And I don't know about you, but what I saw was a bunch of people humiliated. And I got to be honest with you, that was the jesters coming to seek counsel with the king. That's what it looked like. All of them waiting outside, sitting in a line of chairs. These are the leaders of Europe. I mean, you can make the case that it was the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen. To me, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it was almost as if it was like a welfare session. And they were waiting for their turn to go into the welfare office and figure out how much money they're going to get on welfare. I mean, that's literally what it looked like to me. And I find it interesting that people were freaking out over the red carpet in Alaska, but nobody was freaking out about the fact that all the European leaders got on a plane with Zelensky and came over to talk to Trump at the White House. That is the subordinate kingdoms coming to meet the king, is what that is. And, you know, I didn't believe E.M. Burlingame when he first said it to me, but now I believe it because that is exactly what it looked like yesterday. And I'll be curious to see when they're going to announce the peace deal that has clearly already been done, already agreed to. I'm not going to say the ink's dry, but I'm going to say there was enough visual cues yesterday to say that they're going to end the conflict. And isn't the timing impeccable that they end this conflict just before the alien mothership arrives? I mean, wow, impeccable timing. I'm being facetious, but they're transitioning to something else. And the question is, what's the something else? What are they moving to now? What are they doing now? They're building the surveillance system in the background. They've been full and literally racing to get it deployed. Racing. They're doing that in the background. Now there's a conversation. I don't know if all of you caught it, but now there's a conversation about aliens. And it's not in the conspiracy realm. It was on Joe Rogan. You got a sitting congressman sitting on Joe Rogan talking about all the things that she's been briefed on. At the same time that's going on, you're seeing an uptick in both the AI stuff as well as the bots and a lot of accounts posting UFO-related materials. And I'm not saying that they're moving towards some kind of a disclosure, but it sure does seem like that. It sure seems like they're moving towards a disclosure around technology. And it's technology they've already got operationalized. And if you listened to me before, you would have heard me say, there was tech I saw years ago that was not operational, that was light years ahead of where we are right now. Light years. And now I'm starting to hear and see things and rumblings about some of that tech. And I got to be honest with you. I'll believe it when I see it, but it sure does look like they're marching us towards some kind of a disclosure. The other thing that I'm seeing from yesterday and Friday is I'm seeing a massive shift in the narrative around Ukraine. We went from, you know, there can't be peace until X. There can't be peace until Y. They can't be peace until Russia withdraws from all these areas. And now all of a sudden, they're all talking about, we need peace. We have to have peace. Again, they're setting conditions for the public to accept the new narrative. And what the way I see it, and this is just my opinion, I see they've finally realized that they can't win the war. They finally realized they can't hold back the Russians. And the U.S. is all but pulled out of support for Ukraine. Selling weapons to the Europeans to give to Ukraine is just a way to bankroll anything we send over or anything that goes over and make the Europeans pay their fair share. And it's funny to me how when the moment they have to start paying their fair share, then all of a sudden we need to end the war. Funny how that works. But the real big picture here to me is not that. Is the fact that we're seeing not only the shift in the world of politics, but we're seeing a shift in the power structure. And it's happening right in front of us. And like I said, seven European leaders sitting outside the Oval Office while there's a presser going on in neatly lined chairs. I mean, that's a humiliation ritual. Exactly what that is. And I find it very, very interesting that on the world stage right now, we're not only seeing a shift. It is theater, by the way, Bird. It's all kabuki theater. Don't get me wrong. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'll get there. Just give me a second. We're seeing a shift in a world power structure that is not only shifting away from the Europeans, but it's shifting to the Middle East. It's shifting to Asia, and it's shifting to the U.S. and Russia. Power structure shifting away from the center of the known universe, which has always been the Europeans. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know what the catalyst point, and I don't know what the transition point was. I can't tell you definitively. I see a couple of things that have changed the dynamics, but if I was betting man, I would say that they've got some incriminating evidence, all these European leaders that was formerly in the hands of, I don't know, Mossad. And they're desperately trying to stay in power. But they're setting conditions for a transitioning Zelensky out of power and transitioning other Europeans like Keir Starmer out of power. I see that very clearly right now. And I give Starmer to the end of the year, maybe. Zelensky will be a pink mist by the end of the year. Van der Staten she'll be either out of office or in prison. The rest, I don't know. Macron's a wild card, right? Married his dad or his uncle or his brother or whatever that deal is that Candace Owens called out. And what a freak show. But you sit around and you watch the narratives at the table, and what I saw was a power shift that I hadn't seen before. And it was interesting to watch it because I'm seeing now that, first of all, it was Bird Dog was right. All kabuki theater. I mean, all of it. Right down from the red carpet to Putin walking with jets flying over. All kabuki theater. All of it. And then the whole lineup with all the European leaders and the fake press conference with Zelensky, the suit, all of it kabuki theater. It's all distraction. The question is, what are they distracting you from? What are they not telling you? What is going on in the background? And that's really the crux of what I wanted to talk about tonight, is that I'm seeing, and let me take you back to 2000 and 2001. Prior to 9/11, the scripting and the programming for TV was very different. It was non-confrontational. It was very, I don't want to say generic, because there's always themes and messages in all the programming that we've seen over the years on TV. But it was very subtle programming. After 9/11, when cancel culture really started, it was full-blown propaganda that was pointed at convincing people that we needed to march off to war. And then it was propaganda that we needed to, in 2008, that we needed to move on from the economic collapse. And then it was propaganda that the orange man was bad, and we needed to let in all these illegals, and we needed to march towards this climate change agenda. It was very overt versus subtle, and it was very in your face. And as the years progress, we've gotten more and more in your face. And what I saw yesterday takes me back to pre-2001, these very subtle messages. In this case, they were not subtle at all, but very subtle messages laced throughout all of the Kabuki theater. And I'll use a case in point. When Putin and Trump were standing on the stage, and I don't remember exactly the moment, but there was several looks on Putin's face and on Trump's face where you could tell they didn't know what they were off script. And prior to 9/11, you would never see that. You would never, ever see anyone off script. They would rehearse. They would go in front of the cameras. It was very well scripted. It was very well coordinated. It was very articulate. It was very academic. And it was a very subtle message about what the American public was supposed to buy into. Right? Influencing operations were so different. And now that I'm seeing more and more of these off-script moments by Trump and the rest of them, especially Hegseth, if that dude doesn't have a script in front of him or a teleprompter, he's toast, cooked. The one I love in front of the camera that doesn't need a script or a teleprompter is Tulsi Gabbard. She can talk. She's a very smart woman. Don't get me wrong. She's a very smart woman. I mean, you have to be incredibly intelligent to be the DNI anyway. But she doesn't need a script. And you can tell just by the way she talks. She doesn't need a script. She just tell her what she needs to go talk about. She's got it. Off to the races. Polished, professional, squared away. Right? RFK, you can make a case either way. But Hegseth is the talent. And Pam Bondi's the next one down the rung. And then Kash Patel's the next one even farther down the rung on remembering what they're supposed to say and needing a teleprompter. And what's very interesting about the shift that I'm probably not doing any justice to is that we're seeing cracks and frays in the fabric of the lie. The fabric of the propaganda is starting to fray at the edges. And it's because there's so much of it and there's so many things that they're trying to conceal, it's starting to fall apart and it's starting to fray and it's starting to cause them to skip a beat and go off script. And I can tell you, having, you know, set up press conferences and done, you know, VTCs in the desert with general officers and watching how the national level structure works, I can tell you that talking points are handed out from the top down. And everybody marches to the talking points. And if you go look at any of the footage of general officers talking throughout the war in Iraq, and especially in Afghanistan, you're going to see unified talking points from general to general to general. They're all going to be saying the same thing, depending on which year of the war you're in. And we're not seeing that right now. What we're seeing is these disjointed messages and a lot of shotgun messages to see what's going to stick in the public space. And here's the problem. Public trust is eroded so much that we're in a place and time where even if they come out with the God's honest truth and they burn down the whole system to do it, most people wouldn't believe it. There's no credibility left in the government or in any of the politicians or any of the institutions, to the point where Americans just tune out. And that the best way to say it is to bring any justice to why this is such a monumental shift is that they were trying to play off yesterday that the world order is aligned now and that we're going to bring about peace and that everybody's everybody's rejoicing in peace and that we're all unified and, you know, we're all going to hold hands and sing kumbaya. And they couldn't sell it yesterday. Nobody was buying the lie. Everybody was looking at, you know, a bunch of kids waiting to see, and who, I think it was Burlingame said it. He did a post yesterday where he's like, this is the look you have when you're waiting to see if you're in the, if you, you know, your dad's will and what you're going to get. That's literally, that's a good description of it. But the, all of the subtle, you know, humiliation rituals were all there. And it's amazing to me how they're stuck in the same script from the same failing system. And it shows you that they don't have any new material. They have to march to the same. It's like the best way I've heard it described is Tom Luongo said, all the project managers are still working off their Gantt chart, but all of the players are dead. And that's literally what it looks like. So I didn't buy any of yesterday. I didn't buy anything from Friday. Friday to me was about tokenization of resources, figuring out how to divide up resources or trade resources or invigorate production. There was everything but Ukrainian peace was in that conference with Putin on Friday. And I could tell you how it would have gone, you know, how I would have done yesterday, having all those European leaders outside. It would have been like, next, what the fuck do you want? No, we're not going to give you any more money. No, you're not going to traffic any kids. You have two choices. You can kill yourself or you can resign and go to jail. Next, what do you want? No, we're not going to give you another man to be married to that looks like a woman. Next, what do you want? You could just fuck off. Okay. Italy. Okay, you can stay, but you have to fix your economy. You have to fix your social order and you have to throw people out. Get to work. Next. I mean, it would have gone literally by the numbers. And you would see them one by one come up, go in the office, leave the office in shame. And the ones that didn't want to self-eliminate, I would have had them escorted right to a C-130 or an HH-53, one of the slowest, bumpiest, nastiest rides in the world. And I would have flown them to Gitmo right from the Oval Office. And I would have called King Dopey and said, okay, you son of a bitch, here's what's going to happen. Your prime minister is on his way to Gitmo. And we're going to torture him and waterboard him until we get all the information on your family. So I think it would be a really good idea if you would just fuck off to your bunker somewhere in the middle of Scotland and just never come out. And take your whole family with you. The world's a better place without you. Bye-bye. And maybe something like that happened, but I, if these people stay in power past December, then we'll know that it was all a show for them to save face. If not, and they leave power or they're forced out of power or they're just blatantly fired, then we'll know that something else occurred and it really was a humiliation ritual for them. I hope it was, because we need to see a change in the world order tomorrow. And we need to see a shift in our policy towards Israel in and of itself. And if you haven't listened to the newest Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, I find it interesting. I was listening. I listened to his Sean Ryan interview from 2024 for a second time. There was just something about that that I couldn't put my finger on that I didn't like. There was just something about the whole interview that bothered me, and I figured it out. It's the part where he talks about how surprised he was to find out that his old man was a CIA operative. And that at the end of his life, he was told that his dad was working with the CIA. Okay, how could you not know that? I'm sorry, but let me just be very clear about something. Do you know how hard it is to keep a secret in the government. Do you know how incredibly hard it is to keep top secret and you know, special access stuff secret? It's very hard. Very. And the fact that his dad went his whole career and then all of his retirement and Tucker didn't know. Yeah, that's some bullshit. Sorry, I don't buy that. And when I listened to it a second time, it sounds very believable, but it sounds very plausible. I'm sorry, no one is that naive. No one. I mean, not even AOC is that naive. And, you know, the other thing I've been trying to figure out is who's behind Tucker Carlson? I mean, Nick Fuentes says it's Tucker Carlson and I can't remember who else, Peter Thiel and a few others were all hot to trot to get J.D. Vance selected as the vice president. And I'm not sure how much of that is true, but it would make a lot of sense because that would be they would want to put a, you know, a CIA controlled swamp creature right next to Trump. And that would fit the bill. But the point I'm trying to make is Tucker just did he's got a new interview and it's a very interesting. I'm just going to say I've listened to about 20 minutes of it and it's very, very interesting. And trying to bring up the guy's name. But he talks about how the founding fathers were staunchly against having favored nation status and, you know, favored allies, you know, like Israel. And it was against all of their belief system. It was against the writing of the Constitution. And look, things like In God We Trust and a few other things that people think were originally in the Constitution, they were never originally in the Constitution. So they added some of that language after. And if you think I'm kidding, go read the Federalist Papers. Tell me how many references to Christianity are in the Federalist Papers. I think you'd be shocked at how many aren't. And it's the other thing is important to remember is that where we've come to versus where we're supposed to be is completely misaligned with what the founding fathers intended for the country. And their whole intent, and this is again from reading the Federalist Papers, was that we use the military to protect our borders. We use the government to protect the interest of the country and the people, and that we do business, we do trade, and we do diplomacy to the benefit of the American people. That was the original intent for diplomacy and foreign relations. And it should have never changed. The fact that we have our greatest ally, even the words greatest ally, this has been a thing for over 40 years. We have coddled and paid Israel for over 40 years. So if you think this is a new phenomenon under Trump, you are sorely mistaken. You couldn't say a word that was even remotely anti-Semitic from the 70s until 2022. Literally, or you would be deplatformed and shut down. And now we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing the narrative shift. And this goes back to what I was saying about Monday, that the narrative shift and the power structure and the power dynamics are shifting. And we're seeing that shift happen real time to where now it's okay to rip apart Israel and to go after the Jews. And I'm seeing just blatant anti-Semitic rhetoric and anti-Semitic videos, et cetera, are getting more and more prevalent on the internet. And from my perspective and from my experience, that means it's a coordinated influencing operation. That is not by chance. And I realize the public opinion has swayed against Israel. But if you go back to pre-World War II in Germany, just after Hitler took power, there was all these very nebulous slogans and very nebulous sayings and very nebulous, you know, slogans and I don't want to say narratives because that's not the word I'm looking for, but they had these cultural sayings that had become institutionalized. And that's literally what I'm seeing happen right now. I'm seeing it happen through Tucker Carlson. I'm seeing it happen through Sean Ryan. And I'm seeing it happen through a number of other internet influencers. And whether they're doing it intentionally or whether they're doing it unintentionally, they're still adding to the narrative that Israel and the Jews are truly evil. And that's a very dangerous narrative. Very dangerous. Because look, not all Jews are just like Muslims. Not all Muslims and not all Jews are extremists or terrorists. And that's the part about the narratives and the influencing operations that gets very, very dangerous. And those are just two examples of the dangerous rhetoric that's out there now. And what I'm about to say is going to piss a lot of people off, but it's true. Trump has spent the better part of the last 2 months trying to sow the seeds for division in the country. And he's done it, whether it's unwittingly or whether it's on purpose, he's done it to a high effect. And what I'm talking about is the fact that he has been fanning the flames for civil war. And he's been saying things that are intentionally insightful, intentionally. Some of his rhetoric around politicians, some of his rhetoric around the Colbert show. And look, I'm not a Colbert fan. I think he's a communist barking seal. But the way that they, just like with Twitter, the way that they did the cancellation of Colbert was completely outside of the books, and it was petty. Because if Colbert's show was really doing that bad, they would have pulled the plug months ago and they would have redone the format. And they would have done it in a very quiet way. And they would announce that, you know, yeah, Colbert's moving on, we're gonna do a new show, he's gonna go to this show. Have you heard any of that? No. And it's very, very common knowledge that Trump wanted him gone. And I'm convinced that it was part of the deal with CBS that he goes as a part of the deal. And again, it had to be public. It had to be very, very overt. But it was a very overt message that I'm in control, and this is the way it's going to be because I'm in control. And again, it's a dangerous message because the one thing we need right now as a country, barring anything else, is we need unity. We need to cross the aisle. We need to address the issues that the nation has head on. We need to look at this pedophilia and grooming thing that's going on, and not just in blue states, it's going on across the country. And we need to address that head on. We need to address head on that we have an entire body of politicians that completely represent a foreign country and oligarchs. We have to confront the fact that it's not just inflation that's rampant right now. It's the devaluation of the dollar. We have to hold the bankers accountable too. Because what happened after 2008? A lot of Americans lost their livelihoods and no one in Wall Street was held accountable. Not one person was prosecuted. Not one person was put in prison. And here we are on the cusp of yet another economic collapse. And what are we seeing? No accountability. We have to confront all these issues, but we have to do it as a nation. We can't do this as the left or right. And this is classic doctrine for the elite. Put everybody into buckets and get them to fight amongst each other. And what I'm seeing Trump do is more of the same. I'm seeing him sow the seeds of division, sow the seeds of civil war, and it's not always overt. Some of it's very, very subtle. And it hasn't escaped me that everybody in his cabinet, with the exception of Tulsi Gabbard, was in the entertainment industry. And you could say she was in the entertainment industry as well, because she was in Congress. So she knows how the game's played too. There is absolutely no coincidence that all these people that are in Trump's cabinet are all people that were in the public space in the entertainment industry. And that is, that should tell you everything you need to know about what we're seeing right now. That's why I say it's all kabuki theater. There's not one thing we're seeing right now that's real. Not one thing. In fact, I can't even stand to look at Twitter anymore, because I'll browse one thing on my phone or on my desktop or on my tablet, and then my feed is full of it. The AI and the bots are just annoying now. And I can't look, like, on Monday. This is how you know this is a coordinated influencing operation. On Monday, when Zelensky landed, I timed it. When Zelensky landed, there was 50 different posts in my feed about supporting Ukraine. On Friday, the moment that Putin landed in Alaska, I had at least 50 to 60 anti-Russia, anti-Putin, Putin's a dictator posts in my feed. And I don't look at Ukraine stuff or any of that. I don't look at any of that shit. I don't. It's all nonsense. And I don't look at any of it just because it's such an annoying, the feed's so annoying now. So every time I see something like that, it tells me that there's an influencing operation. But it also tells me that Twitter's not a free space like everybody thinks it is. Elon Musk is not the fucking savior. And my point is, if there's that much BS, or let me say that right, bullshit, that's in the feed, then it means everything else that is in social media is just as infected by that. And again, this goes with the danger area of the incitement, the anti-Semitic, the anti-Muslim rhetoric, and all the other negativity. Without a source of truth, people will start to buy into these narratives and they'll start to accept things they would have never accepted before. And it's because the system's been flooded with so much garbage that they can't sift through the garbage to get to the clean information, because it doesn't exist. It's like the Epstein files. Everybody was wrapped up in the files. But there was never a discussion in the media, in social media, or in the influencer circles about who was running the op. So here we are. We're in this garbage environment. We're flooded and inundated with information that has absolutely no measure of truth to it. And we're supposed to decipher what's true and what's not true. So I'll just say that the order of battle for me, take this for what you will, the order of battle for me is very, very simple. Disconnect from social media as much as possible. Wait 48 to 72 hours to see how the stories develop. Wait to see how the narratives develop. Check as many sites that have credibility and have published as a source of truth in the past, and cross-reference against everything I'm seeing to see what's measure of truth is in there. But trust nothing. I trust nothing that I see. I believe nothing that I hear on the first report. And I say that because I'm looking at all these indicators that used to be very easy to decipher when we were doing, you know, when I was doing influencing operations. We had a lot of things we could look at that would give us a source of truth and give us a feedback on what we were doing and give us measurable effect. All of those are gone now. All the sources of truth have been shown to be false. All of the outlets that we used to be think that the public was following, they don't believe anymore. You're literally watching the collapse of the Western society right now. And it's very reminiscent of the Roman Empire. And maybe we're looking at the last Caesar. I mean, it sure seems like that. But either way, what I'm focused on right now is not buying into the first narrative, getting into the emotional space, and getting amped up. And I'll tell you just how bad it is for me. If this object coming into our solar system is really an alien spacecraft, I'm going to sit on my back porch with a glass of whiskey and a cigar, and I'm going to watch the fireworks and tell them either dead or they're gone. Because I think it's all staged nonsense. I think it's our tech. I think it's something that they've been expecting, or something that they're staging. Because I think it's ironic right now that they're all of a sudden, after blocking Trump and blocking peace talks for months and months and months, all of a sudden now they're all on board for peace in Europe. Russia's on board for peace. And it looks like there's going to be a peace deal just before this big event. And if the big event is to bring everybody under one world government, if I hear that, in fact, let me just go on record and say this. If I hear one fucking politician or one fucking European leader say one world government in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to pick up arms. Because I will know at that moment that everything we've seen up to that point was a staged event to bring the world to that point. And I'm not saying Trump's a bad guy, but it sure looks like he's a part of the plan from what I'm seeing. And I don't like the fact that he's close to Israel. I don't like the fact that we bombed Iran. We had no reason or provocation to do it. And I don't care what the intelligence says. Let me just get that on the table. I don't give two shits what intelligence that they think they had. We had no reason to go into Iran. They made no provocations against us. And Iran has always been a region. They never had designs to be a global power. That nonsense is just like the same nonsense of Putin's going to march all the way into Europe. All nonsense. Putin lost the ground war in the first month of the special military operation. The Russians could not advance against an inferior force with no air support. They were not going anywhere past Kiev if they could get that far. They made it to the Dnieper River and they stopped. That's not an army that's blitzkrieging across Ukraine and Europe. And go look at Operation Barbarossa. Go look at how fast the Germans advanced in World War II with tanks and fucking horses. And then talk to me about how the Russians are going into Kiev. Get the fuck out of here with that. But that should tell you just how far we've come from just a few weeks ago to right now. We should tell you everything you need to know that this narrative is bullshit. And maybe Trump's the master chess player like everybody says he is. I'm waiting to see what the next shoe to drop is. And that'll be the tell. My personal opinion is I think they've got dirt on every one of those European leaders to the point where they got them by the short hairs. And they're like, you're going to come over here. You're going to wait your turn. And we're going to tell you what's going to happen next and what you're going to do next. I would hope that's going on and that we're back in control of the world order, or at least we're in control of the world order, so we can put all of these fucking Eurofag pedophiles into prison. I want to see these people in Gitmo. And I want to see public trials and public execution, not show trials, public trials, where you show the world what these people have been doing in the background. And you show the world all the nefarious things they've done to kids. And I mean all of them. Guys like Anthony Weiner that had all that crap on his laptop. Hey, pal, you get a firing squad or you hang. The fact that this guy's out in the public space talking about why he thinks it's unjust that he had to do prison time and he was convicted as a sex offender. Are you shitting me? That's why I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop. We're going to find out if we're ever going to see justice for these pedophiles. Because it's not just the people, the middle managers and the people doing the trafficking and the people on the low ends. I'm like everybody else. I'll believe that Trump's serious about this and Trump's doing the right thing when I see Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Tom Hanks, George Clooney, Quentin Tarantino, and all the notorious pedophiles in Hollywood rolled up. But so far, it doesn't look like we're going that way. And I'm watching this rhetoric coming out of the White House that's divisive, that's really tailored towards civil war. And I'm seeing more and more people in the public space getting more and more unhinged. That's by design, folks. That is not what a president does. That is not presidential. That denigrates the office. It denigrates what the office stands for. And I don't care how good of a chess player he is. There's a point where you have to be presidential and you have to bring the country together. And right now, the only thing that's going to do that is transparent, 100% transparency. And I mean, number one, you stop funding Israel, full stop. Number two, you arrest every oligarch, dual citizen Jew that is paying for and facilitated the Epstein style blackmail operations. They all go to prison, all of them, no exceptions. I don't care who they are. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how many minions they have. If they were funding child trafficking, if they were funding the exploitation of children, they go to jail. That's the only way the public is going to sign up. The public will accept nothing less. And that's why I keep saying he created an existential crisis. He wasn't paying attention to his base. He misread his base because his base was like, okay, we're going to see accountability. And now they're off Epstein. They're on to the January 6th stuff. They're on to the election stuff. And that's all well and good, but Epstein's not going away. The people that funded it are not going away. The people in AIPAC that are pedophiles, not going away. So get the memo. You're going to do something about Israel, or we will. You're going to do something about the oligarchs that are funding child trafficking, pedophilia, and crimes against children, or we will. And that's what he missed from the American public. That's what he missed from his base. That's literally what his base said to him when the Epstein file blew up. And he didn't hear it. He heard none of it. And I'm shocked. I should be shocked, but I'm not shocked. What I am is I'm just sitting here waiting for the next, what's the next turd he's going to drop in the punch bowl. But I'm telling you, what we're seeing, especially from his Truth Social post, not presidential. None of that's presidential. That is all WWE. I didn't hire a WWE president. I hired a president to go get accountability. And I hired a guy to bring in a cabinet that wasn't going to tote the party line, that was going to go against the system and seek accountability. Because I'm telling you, folks, the base was very clear. Very, very, very clear after November. We want to see pedophiles, money launderers, and the corruption in Congress. We want to see these people held to account. And every day he doesn't do that is just another day that clicks, ticks the clock closer and moves the clock closer to revolution. Because that's what's coming. I'm seeing it in all the rhetoric. I'm seeing it in the economy. I'm seeing it in the housing market. And where I'm really seeing it is in social media. People are losing their houses. They're more and more people are unable to feed their families. And I've said this from day one when I started the show, I said that Americans will act when they're extremely uncomfortable. You will not see any action until people can't feed their families or their children are openly hurt. And we're seeing more and more people starting to talk about vaccine injuries, vaccine deaths, sudden deaths. And we're starting to hear more and more studies that show that the vaccine and the spike protein kill people, cause inflammation, destroy the immune system. There's a host of things that we're seeing. That's not narrative. That's all organic town square chatter that's starting to bubble up to the surface, as well as the accountability piece, which Trump clearly didn't hear. He doesn't realize, I don't think Trump realizes how much danger he is in right now of losing his base. This Epstein thing was the litmus test. It was literally, this is the test. If you don't pass the litmus test, you are done. And look at how many people are coming out of the woodwork now going after the guy, because he's changed his direction on Epstein four times now. It's not going away. And I've said to a lot of people around me that if he doesn't follow through with his campaign promises, he will be the most despised man in American history. And when I see posts like I did today and the Colbert post, I'm telling you, he's sealing the deal for himself right now. So we'll see what the next week brings. If we're going to see peace in Ukraine, it's going to be within the next 2 weeks. Probably this week, we'll see an announcement. And really what the tell is going to be is what happens in Europe to these European leaders once they go back and that's announced. Because remember, they spent how many months saying that Ukraine good, Russia bad, we have to support Ukraine at all costs. And you still see all these retards on Twitter and on Instagram with the Ukraine flag in the background, and you know, all of these retards. None of them would ever get up and pick up a rifle and go fight. God, no. But I can virtue signal. What do you think is going to happen to the extreme in that group? What do you think is going to happen to the extreme in the other groups when people start getting rolled up and all this divisive language is still in the public space? It's not going to go well for them. And that's going to be ugly to watch when that happens. But I think it's all by design. I think they want to stoke the flames of civil war so they could cover the fact that they've run the economy into the ground and they've run the dollar into the ground. I mean, I saw a post yesterday where somebody had taken a picture of meat prices in 2024 in July and the meat prices in 2025 in July, and it was $25 difference in the same steak. That should tell you just how bad things have gotten. And it's why I don't trust anything I see right now, because all of those things, I don't even trust influencers. I don't even know who on the influencer side of the house is. I don't know who's real and who's not real. I mean, the system is so completely corrupt and compromised. I really don't know who to believe. I know I don't know who is behind Tucker Carlson. I know somebody's behind him because the stuff that he's talking about, the disclosures he's doing, are on purpose. And it's contradicting a lot of the narrative. And the fact that he's had Darryl Cooper on twice to challenge the state religion, or the religion of the state, however you want to say it, means that somebody's behind him trying to disrupt the narratives. And if I look at the bigger picture from that, I see what they're trying to do is discredit the nation state and the government and usher in some kind of a new government or new form of government that doesn't include politicians, doesn't include voting. Sure sounds an awful lot like banker run, corporate run opportunity centers. Does that ring a bell? Sure does sound like that. If I look at the big picture of where this maneuvering is going towards, you discredit the government, you discredit the media, you discredit everything but the corporation and the business entity, and that CEOs become gods. I mean, I can see where they're going with it. Whether they can carry it out and follow it through, who knows? But I do know this. The good thing in all of the messaging I'm seeing right now is they're exposing just how broken and corrupt the governments around the world have been for decades. It's just now it's on display for everybody to see how bad it really is. And it's beyond what people anticipated it would be. It's so bad that people are looking at it going, shit, I didn't know that guy was that bad. I mean, look, Anthony Weiner was the indicator. The Weiner laptop was the indicator. It was the indicator almost, what was it, 10 years ago now? Maybe it was 15 years ago now. But it showed that the entire political class, the entire political elite, they thought they were invincible. They thought they were above the law. They could do whatever they wanted to do and get away with it. So the good thing in all of this toxic rhetoric is it's really opened people's eyes to just how bad it is. And it's even worse than it was then. And, you know, people used to say it was conspiracy that they would have these orgies and parties and they would be laughing at the American public at night and smiling during the day. That's true. All of that's true. It's been verified now by a number of sources that these big congressional orgies, for lack of a better word, were occurring. And it's a wake-up call for everybody who thought that these people were actually honest, you know, honest to God patriots. And people are starting to realize that it's way worse than what they thought it was. And we're just scratching the tip of the iceberg with the money laundering that's occurred through Congress and through all these NGOs and through all these shell companies. People don't have any idea how much money has been fleeced out of the, not just the economy, but been fleeced out of the system, out of the back end. And the fact that we have two sets of books for the federal government, when people really see how much money has been taken out and put in the pocket of these, not just politicians, lobbyist firms, people they bought off, organized crime, intelligence agencies, take your pick. Everybody was getting paid. And during, you know, during the Biden administration, the Biden regime, they were literally writing blank checks every single day to all these NGOs. And nobody knows where the money went. I'm sure somebody knows where the money went, but it was so bad. It was on display for everyone to see and nobody was paying attention to it. But now, thanks to Trump, now thanks to some of these toxic posts, thanks to some of his cabinet picks that have gone off script, people are starting to see just how bad it really is. So we're seeing the shift right now. But don't latch into any narrative you hear, because it's more likely it's staged nonsense. And don't buy into anything you hear for the first time. Wait and see how it develops. Wait to see what other narratives are pinned onto it, and wait to see how it's spun in the media, because that will be your tell about whether or not it's real or not. And I honestly think that we're about to see somebody go off script that's going to be massively inflammatory, probably next month. I'm hedging my bets on that one. Because there's a video going around right now that I hadn't seen before. And again, let me preface this with, I don't know if this is a real video or if this is a deep fake AI video, but it's a video of Biden talking about the emergency response manager that they put in Maui 2 months prior to the fire to handle a contingency. Like, said the words out loud, said the quiet part out loud. And everybody was like, wait a minute, what did he just say? And they're starting to realize that everything they've seen up to this point has been staged. So where I'm going with this is that you're going to see people realize all in one moment that everything that they believe, their entire belief system that's been reinforced by the media and social media for the last two decades, is a lie. And you'll see people go off the reservation like you've never seen before. I don't think we're that close to that, but I think we're getting near that. And we're seeing people every day get more and more unhinged. So, yeah, Sarita's doing lexigrams in the chat. Those are very telling, by the way. If you've never seen one of those lexigrams where you take a name and you spell out all the words that go along with that, it's very, very telling about some of the names and some of the people. So, anyway, again. So don't buy into anything you see right now. Don't believe anything at first broadcast. Wait at least 48 hours before you start making an opinion on something, and do as much research as you can around whatever topic you're looking at. Because I guarantee you that you'll go to two different sources and see two different things. The gaslighting is intense right now. The propaganda is intense. The bots and the AI are intense. So disconnect from it as much as you possibly can and focus on the things you can verify. And those will be very, very few, just so you know. There's going to be a lot of obfuscation, a lot of misdirection, but where you can find truth, find the truth. And as always, be prepared for whatever comes. Be prepared for anything. And use your gear, because no telling how this is going to go. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride in September and October. And I think you're going to see people really uncomfortable by the end of September. Whether that's economically, name it, you're going to see it. So I'll be back later this week. I'm going to be at Prime Prescott this weekend at the Yavapai Preparedness Team's meeting. I'll be speaking for probably 20 minutes. And I'll be talking about a lot of the same thing on Saturday, because I'm sure by then there'll be way more to talk about. But until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.